Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Good evening, Razorback fans. Welcome to another episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, live from the Sterling Soap and Roastery Studios, part of the Believe in Buzz Radio Networks, where you can hear us on 106.7 in Central Arkansas. All live shows are presented to you by Arkansas Brewing Company in downtown Ozark. I am Porter Hayes, and alongside me, as always, is Adam Hall. We're also brought to you by Bet Online, continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Go to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. And we go to the Meadors Lumber Hotline and bring in Greg Kiger, the GM of the newest pro sports team in Arkansas, the Fort Smith Marshals. You set your season. Opening day is May 23rd. Thank you for coming on and looking forward to what this baseball program has to offer for the River Valley.
I appreciate the opportunity. It's fun to be on and just let those that watch know who we are, what we are, and maybe some importantly, what we're not, because we're not the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, but we're going to be filled with summer collegiate baseball guys that want to take that next step and maybe play for them.
And I guess just start us off from the beginning, you know, what led you to Arkansas? What led your interest to become a general manager of a startup program and the league, the Mid-American League with a bunch of teams in it, you know, just kind of bring us up to speed on what got you started and what it took to get this thing going.
Right. Well, it's been a blessing and a curse for me to take on challenges like this, because any startup is pretty daunting. We got six teams that are startups, a league that's a startup. And really, and again, speaking Fort Smith specifically, Benny Westfall and Matt Perry, the league president, have been working for 20 years to figure out a way to bring this brand of baseball to the Fort Smith area. Mm-hmm. And things just weren't working out, whether it was trying to put a stadium together or having more than one or two teams involved. So I've spent the last 4 years up as assistant general manager up with the Lansing Lugnuts up in Michigan, a high A affiliate of the Lansing Lugnuts, and really was looking for my own opportunity. And I really didn't care if it was affiliated or not. heard about this new league that was trying to do it a way that really nobody else has. And they were looking for an area of the country, and they found it, looking for larger cities in that 80 to 100,000 range, but more importantly, a regional aspect of maybe over 200,000 that, one, had a good business acumen across the board, two, that hasn't had minor league sports or something like this for a very long time, and things just came together. And we had four teams. I think we were the third team announced. The fourth team came along in Sherman, Texas, and then the last two teams, Joplin, Missouri, and Piney Woods, which is the White Oak area in Texas, ended up being the sixth team. So we're a full six-team league. There, you know, we had our league meetings about a month ago. There's already discussion about, okay, what do we want to look like 3 to 5 years down the road? And you're going to probably see us spread to five states, probably 16 teams in four different conferences with four teams in each. And it's really something that's going to be long-term. So that what led me to hear from Michigan is the fact that there was really a long-term thought into what the big picture was going to be, not only for Fort Smith, but for the league. Right. So I was excited at learning more, got to know the ownership group here. And really there's talk with a couple other franchises and a couple other cities that I could go to, but I think Fort Smith far and away, as far as my family's concerned, was really the only place that we wanted to be.
How's the reception been so far from the residents in the area? And I know we really won't get the true test until, you know, the season kicks off, but so far, how's it been?
It's been really good. People are just saying, you know, we're starved for one, something to do in the summer. Mm-hmm. And two, they love their baseball here. And I hear some people saying, you know, it's a football area. But I think any place that has really good high school sports, that has good small college sports, is going to be more than football. And coming from Michigan, it was the same thing. Everybody loves their baseball. Everybody kind of played it growing up. Mm-hmm. Whether they veered off into football or something else is another matter. But, you know, almost everybody's played baseball or softball. So I think the basis down here was, for me, was getting to know a gentleman like Billy Higgins and Benny Westfall. And, you know, where did baseball start here and where does it come? And we want to be a part of that history. And by becoming part of it, I needed to learn it.
And speaking of the history, I mean, a lot of that goes into your name, the Fort Smith Marshals, and perfect timing with, you know, the Yellowstone series and Bass Reeves and how that all perfectly times into this. And, you know, you named your mascot Smitty. So, I mean, just talk about, you know, the naming of the team and how kind of easy that was to really, I mean, you partnered up with the Fort Smith Marshals, and I believe the last time we had talked, you said that even marshals from around the country have taken notice of this and really showed interest. So what has that been like? Really, just did you expect this to happen so quickly with this recognition?
Not really. I had to learn more about the true history of Fort Smith, what it meant to the Old West, what it meant to the, you know, the western side of our Arkansas, but what it meant also in, you know, really the state of Oklahoma, and getting to learn the Judge Parker stories and Bell Star and all those things that really happened. And honestly, if I would have had a choice to name it the Marshals, I would have, but it came down to a public vote. We had a final five, much like the name of our mascot. And, we had Bass Reeves and some of those things, Rooster, and, you know, that'd have been fun names, but really it's been done. We wanted a kind of our own thing. So luckily, and it's safe to say that it was truly the public vote and Smitty won it. And I'll say this much, that was my mom's first choice, and she was so excited that she thought she got to name our mascot.
There you go. Said, yeah, we'll leave it at that.
It was a popular vote, but yes, you were one of those votes. So, and getting to know the people at the Marshals Museum, and yes, going back to what you said, we've had two different U.S. Marshals offices in North Carolina reach out to get merchandise. I spent some time over on the in Little Rock. I got a tour of their facility. They just are believing in what we're trying to do, and they're so thrilled that the Marshals are our name, and we're even on the U.S. Marshals intranet. So when we have updates, everyone gets a taste of what we're going to do. So it's been a lot of fun.
with the season coming up on us quickly, how has it been recruiting players and getting guys on board?
You know what? It wasn't too bad. And that was one of my concerns getting kind of started early in a January, February, when typically I've spent a number of years in the college athletics. Guys like to figure out where they're going pretty early in their, in the fall. So we hired Steve Maddock, who's been a coach in a multi-levels, owned a baseball academy, sold it, got back into coaching, has coached up north the last couple of years, jumped out of the chance to be a part of the Portsmouth Marshals because he's from Frisco, Texas. So it's just one of those things that he took off running with it as soon as we hired him, and he had 10 or 12 guys pretty quick. Honestly, the last probably 6 or 7 days, we've had two guys get hurt. Two guys decide they didn't want to play this summer. So we're kind of reaching back. And if anybody, including you two, if you guys can throw 85, 90, we do need a couple arms. And if both of you are left-handed, I think we got a deal.
Well, I'm a lefty, but I think I throw 58, not 85. So I don't know if I'll be able to. You'd have to have some AARP insurance plans for it. So, you know.
But it's been good, you know, across the board, our six teams. You know, some got started a little earlier and a couple got started later. And we're trying to help each other out and pushing guys that either don't want to come this way as far as, you know, guys that want to stay in Texas and you know, up in Missouri. And, you know, those two teams that start a little later need a little help. So we jump on GM meetings every Tuesday morning and talk about our challenges and talk about the things we are getting ahead on. But we're all in the same boat. We all got 18 days away and we're all trying to help each other be successful.
And that seems to be the common ground. You know, you everybody wants this to be successful because, I mean, you could be stingy or you could be selfish, but look, we've seen so many leagues start up and die off and start off and die off. And especially with the plans on what you're wanting to do with this program, this organization, with the future of it, I know that has to go hand in hand with other teams because I'm sure they have the same views and goals as you do with this team.
Well, everybody kind of has the same goal we all are going to have to be successful because if we want continuity long-term, we all got to be here. And so we're all making different deals to help each other. If we have a good contact with a sponsorship group that may be in some of these other cities, we're contacting each other and say, hey, give this person a call. And you know, we want to beat their rear end on the field. But outside of that, we got to really play well together and be in each other's corners.
And speaking of the sponsors, you know, y'all been lucky enough to be able to find some people to back you in the organization. Did you find that easy? I mean, or was you surprised, like in a market like Fort Smith, in a town like Fort Smith, to be able to see Mercy, Art Best, you know, for a small town, there's some pretty big corporations that are in this location.
I'll tell you what, they've really stepped up and believed in what we're doing long-term. They both committed to 2-year agreements and I couldn't be happier. I have Mercy and Art Best on our side. In the last 2 days we've had, Zooms with some of their marketing people to say, okay, you know, part of their package is as far as signage, but it was also an inning sponsorship. So they're each going to get a sponsored inning. And it's like, okay, what would be a fun game that we can incorporate what you do for a living? Mm-hmm. And so they got their think tanks going and what they want to see and talk about prizing. But, you know, we probably have in the neighborhood in various fashions, probably 14 or 15 sponsorship packages that companies have come. And really the only challenge we probably had is starting so late that a lot of people had, you know, their 2024 money was spent. They're like, when your season gets over and you kick things off again for 2025, give us a call, we'd be happy to help. And I understand those things. I've been on both sides of those. Mm-hmm. So even the people that haven't been able to financially help have either bought season tickets or want to buy tickets and saying, you know, give us a call in the fall. We'd be glad to help next year.
This coming season, you know, you're going to be playing at Crowder Field at UA Fort Smith. How receptive were they to letting y'all play at their field?
Well, I think once they understood that we weren't going to have really any overlap because we won't start till May 23rd. All the UFIS fans out there, they upset the number 2 seed this week. So they're moving on and they're practicing tomorrow and leaving for Lubbock. And I guess the good news for us is they're only practicing one day. And outside of that, we won't see him back for a home game. So it probably, it really leaves the canvas open for us to do the things we need to do. For those that have been out there, the left side is completely wide open. Obviously, we're a ticketed event, so we got to do some fencing. That whole area, actually, we're going to move the visiting bullpen on the field on the third base side so we can incorporate that whole space, which is a little flatter, which helps with not, you know, picnic table staying stable and all of those wonderful things. But, you know, starting probably tomorrow, we had three different meetings out there today, and we're just kind of, you know, we've been in the background getting some work done, and now it's time that their home season is over, and we're going to basically take it over and truly make it our summer home for a couple of years.
And talk about, you know, the fan experience, you know, what you are wanting the fans to realize, your biggest difference, like you said, opening up, you don't want the fans to feel like, you know, it's not the Naturals, but you still want to bring that big league feel to this team. So fans are coming out and they're wanting to buy season tickets. What can they expect out of the facilities and what your vision is for the first 2 years there at Crowder Field?
Well, you know, exactly. We may not have the same budget as some of the minor league franchises, but we're going to try to do as much as we can to capture everybody that would typically go to a game. Or, you know what, it's even more fun to have people that have maybe never even been to a UFIS game that just want to check us out. So, you're going to get some family entertainment. You're going to have your typical, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers. And, you know, we're working on our beer permit so we can sell beer there, which seems to be making most everybody the happiest. go figure. But again, two of my meetings out there were with the two beer distributors here. But, you know, we still wanted to make it a fan-friendly event, and you can still do that and serve beer by doing everything the right way and cutting off sales at an appropriate time. And, but, you know, we have some limitations on, again, flat space there. There's plenty of space. There's just not a lot of flat space. And so, you know, we're going to have on-field games. We're going to have trivia contests. And, you know, we want to get players involved. And the fun part of, and really one of the reasons, guys, that I came here is after spending 4 years in the affiliated league and Major League Baseball, taking that over, to me, the fun stuff sticks with the true minor league system. Mm-hmm. And we're not so tied here to what Major League Baseball wants us to do, or maybe a parent affiliate wants us to do. We can almost not quite make our own rules, but we can have some fun. We have no pitch clock. You know, there are certain things that they have that we won't. So, you know, if we need to eke out an extra 10 seconds to have more fun with a game on the field, you know, I can tell the umpire, hold off, we want to finish this, instead of the other way around. And, you know, pulling kids off the field because they're taking too much time, which I've spent 4 years doing. So, but again, we got these kids that want to take the next step and want to get to that league. And having spent 4 years in that league, it's, you know, I spent a couple nights up in Northwest Arkansas, actually the AA affiliates in Midland, Texas. So I got a chance to go down and see 10 or 12 of our guys from the last 2 or 3 years in Lansing. And it's just fun to see these young guys take those next steps. You know, Brett Harris played for us 3 years ago. He made his major league debut 3 nights ago, and in game two hit 2 home runs. And it couldn't happen to a better kid. Getting to know the kid and the families come. And I love to have those conversations with their parents too, saying, you know, I've been able to spend a month with your kid. You did a great job. And they love hearing that. And not every kid is like that, but right now our job is to give these guys an opportunity to play 68 more games, play in front of scouts and other coaches, and just give them an advantage that guys that decide not to play in the summer, you know, whether they're heading back to school in the fall or not, we're just giving these guys 68 more opportunities to play baseball.
That's kind of what I wanted to lead with, is just, you said opportunity. So, I mean, this is for the athletes who may not be familiar with your league. You know, what are the benefits, or what about some of these guys that never knew about this league, you know, and now they have a chance? I mean, you're going to get some kids that, one, they thought their baseball career was over. Now they're getting this, like you said, this next chance to come out to a team and maybe have somebody pick them up. I mean, what goes into, like you're talking about some of these kids, their mindset of they're out here really trying their hardest because they're trying to find somebody who sees in them what you've seen in them.
You know, it's been fun getting to know a few of the guys. We have, we'll probably end up with 6 or 8 local guys or local area guys, Greenwood, Van Buren, Fort Smith. And, you know, just seeing, you know, seeing their faces talk about, you know, they would love to take the next step. And going back to our league, we also, each team has exceptions that we can accept a guy that isn't college eligible. And we have 2 guys right now that will be playing for us. And basically the main factor is they're not signed currently under a major league or a professional contract. Mason Wiggins is one guy. He was the oldest of the Wiggins brothers. Jackson and Carter have, you know, one's playing in the Cubs organization. The other one just finished his regular high school career, has playoffs to go, signed to go to Arkansas. He could be a first round pick in this draft in July and sign and be done with it. And here's this older brother that had the same vision, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, get hurt in college, go in the military, get back out, start a family, start, get his surgery done, start rehabbing. And he calls me probably now 5 or 6 weeks ago and said, this is who I am. You know, he sent me some video. He's like, I would love to talk to your coach. I think I have some left in the tank. And here's a guy who started a family that has come back, and we're the perfect opportunity for him to take that, probably his last step. And I tell you, if he could come throw really well and sign a free agent contract at the end of our season, and he gets a chance in affiliated baseball, I would be thrilled to death for him to step into that ring, knowing his 2 younger brothers are, you know, one's in there, one's about to be in there. And that story would be unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We got another guy that was drafted by the Brewers a few years ago, could not pass his physical, left, came back, finished his college career, and again is going to pitch for us. And he's trying to make that last ditch effort to, I mean, who would want to pitch in the major league? So,
yeah.
You know, right now they're taking their last shot, and I am thrilled to be giving them that opportunity.
I know here in 10 days, we've got the meet the team, meet the marshals down at the Bakery District. What all festivities or what things do we have lined up down there?
It's funny that came out of a meeting for something completely different. And I learned a lot about the International Film Festival here and what they're all about. And he's like, mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we do a film every third Thursday, and we have an opening in May. Wonder if we could do something. And so he chatted with his people, and this documentarian has this documentary that came out with Billy Bob Thornton doing the narration. I haven't seen it. I'm sure a lot of people have, but we're going to basically have a meet the marshals. We'll have 4 or 5 players there, a couple coaches. And it's really an opportunity for people that outside of, you know, we have probably a dozen or so fairly rabid fans that stop by the office all the time just to see how we're doing. And it's just an opportunity for, you know, sponsors to come out and other people to come out and say, okay, let's figure out what these guys are about. And whether that turns into ticket sales really doesn't matter to me. We just want the opportunity to reach out like I'm doing tonight and let people know who we are, what we're doing. And you know what? You can go to a movie, you can do so many things, but you know, the opportunities in the summer here, you know, give us a shot. If you come to a game and enjoy yourself, come to another game. And maybe a year down the road, we're talking about a 10 game season ticket package, or you know, we love those full season ticket packages too. Mm-hmm. That keeps us in business, but we just want an opportunity for families to come out and really for moms to see that we have things for kids to do too. It's just not hot, you know, for the diehard baseball fan.
And I guess last thing for me is, of course, day and age, we're able to do this. Social media is big. How much of an impact do you think your league and getting these kids, you know, social media has had on that? Of now you get to have this league 60 at your games, but that's content for these kids to one viral clip can make a kid. You know, right. Talk about the impact of that's had on your league.
You know, it's again going back to our teams had came into it at various times, and we didn't all start at the same time. And the league initially was pretty tight knit on how much access we could have to a lot of our social media. But once we had our league meeting and they kind of let us go, things just exploded. There, you know, a lot of opportunity to talk with, you know, through the league's website. But once we got our own website and our own social media platforms, I think we went from 850 followers on Facebook maybe 3 weeks ago, and I think we're approaching 1500 now. And almost anything we put out helps. You know, we put out some of the local players and we got a ton of followers. We put out, you know, we started putting out employment for our game day events. We did that a couple times last week, and we're going to announce, and it may have come out, who our PA announcer is going to be. We're going to do our jersey reveal. I get the jerseys tomorrow, and we'll do a jersey reveal probably Friday. And I'm not sure if I gave you a sneak peek on that, Porter, or not.
I'm not going to say.
I may have.
Neither.
But
I'm a big uniform and jersey group, so I'll be anxious to see those.
But outside of the naming events, things like that are so much fun for me because, you know, it's one of those things, you put it out publicly and then 3/4 of the people there, I'm like, oh my God, that looks atrocious. And, you know, you look, and even the City Connect stuff in Major League Baseball right now, some look okay, some aren't great. And you wonder, you know, who is in the room to make some of the decisions. And sometimes, as they say, you know, you have too many cooks in the kitchen, and, but we're excited to show it off. Even putting our logos out in January, it was fun to see that, you know, people have fallen in love with our primary logo with the face. And, and I'm kind of getting a little nervous because getting our mascot back, has been a little tough because it got started a little late, and I don't know if it's going to be here by opening day, and they are not great about sharing information with me, which leads me to believe maybe I won't have it by opening day. But at some point we're going to have Smitty out there, and we'll, you know, when we get it, we're just going to have fun with it. I'm not going to worry about when we're going to get it. But all that fun is stuff, or all that stuff is fun. And it just, you know, everything about this startup and this league and this team is fun for me. And that's what, you know, I brought my family here from Michigan, and we're just going to have fun with it.
Speaking of that, Adam, I can say, you know, he put a little bit of the Michigan flair in the jerseys. That's all I'm going to say about the details of the jersey, but you could tell by the shirt, kind of get a gist of where I'm going with that, with the colors. But,
there's a certain color scheme to it, and it's funny because one of the things that I was told from the league, it's like, okay, we had to pick a color scheme that was different from everybody else, and we had an idea from the other three teams what it was going to be, and I really didn't – I wanted to make sure what it wasn't, and it certainly wasn't going to be red because I didn't want to tie in with anything Arkansas-related, because I'm thrilled with their teams, and obviously things are moving real quick with their basketball team now that they've named a coach. And so we're going to be us, you know, we're going to put out our jerseys very soon. And I think people will be excited with what they look like. And I even love our road jerseys. And some days I want to wear those at home because those are so cool.
Yeah. Well, opening weekend starts May 23rd. I was really hoping to make the very first game, but that is my birthday. So I'll make a future game and just, you know, taking on the Texas Arcana Rhinos, and you have a full slate of activities that you're going to have. You're going to have Thursday. You're going to have a Red Solo Cup tribute with fireworks. And then on the 25th, a Veterans Appreciation Day. So you're kicking off the season. I mean, you're going right at it. So I really think that's going to catch a lot of fans' attention, and whatever we can do to help, you know, keep that going and promote the team, we're here to help out.
Well, you know, I appreciate everything you guys are doing. You guys mention us a lot. You know, I met the mayor, and then he goes into his state of Fort Smith and mentions us and mentions the possible stadium. And he's right. You know, my wife and I owned a family business, and you try to do everything you can to put your heart and soul in it, and try to do, whether it's financial or whatever, you put everything into it. And you just hope it's supported because you can't do it all yourself. It takes people support. It takes money. It takes time. It takes energy. And you know what? I want to be here for a really long time. And that's what it's going to take. Again, getting the stadium on board. I hope we're playing 2026 on the riverfront at a multi-purpose stadium where we can do all kinds of things. It, you know, doesn't have to be sports related. The team's on the road. We can do a beer fest, and we can do, you know, a concert. It's really, you know, going to have 2,000 or 3,000 seats. We're going to probably be just under 1,000 in on Crowder Field, but we're going to take advantage of every flat spot we can find.
Well, they just had the Steel Horse Rally. So, I mean, I'm sure you can have some kind of concert series going on, you know, with that tie everything in. But and then with the Marshals Museum right there on Riverfront as well. I mean, the thing I can say about Fort Smith is being from the River Valley, Adams from Fort Smith, we've seen a revamp in the city. I mean, you couldn't have formed this team at a more perfect time. I've seen a lot of stuff downtown on Garrison. It's coming back to life, and I really hope that major success for your team, your organization, because you have Little Rock, you have Northwest Arkansas, and to really bridge that gap and have something in the River Valley and bringing in people from Eastern Oklahoma. We've talked a couple of times, and a lot of baseball talent in this region where kids that might go to a JUCO or a D2 or NAIA now have a chance. You look at the team in Fort Smith at UFIS, have a second chance to play some college ball, and I think it's going to work out very well.
Well, I hope so, and we're getting a lot of positivity from a lot of people that have been here a really long time, and actually we had two new Coast Guard members stop in 2 days ago, and they just moved into town, found out that there was a team here, and stopped in and bought some gear, and you know, we talked to them about Veterans Appreciation. We're going to do a military appreciation later in the year, and they have families, and they can't wait to come out, and that excites me a lot.
Well, Greg, we really appreciate you coming on again. Thank you so much. Best of luck to your team. I'm sure me and Adam will be out there rooting along. And again, anything we can do to help, pass it along.
Well, I appreciate that too. I'd be glad to come on anytime, and I'll take care of your first two adult beverages.
There you go. All right. I'll just do that.
Thank you, guys.
Adam will be sick that day. All right. Yeah, have a good evening.
Thank you.
Well, that was Greg Kiger of the Fort Smith Marshals. Again, can't say enough how excited truly I am to see this team come to Fort Smith. I mean, Adam, we talked about, you know, from the beginning when they announced, you know, the Fort Smith Marshals, and you can't not help but think about, you know, the TV series and the perfect timing between Bass Reeves and the Fort Smith Marshals, what this can really do. And of course, you know, Chaffee Crossing's blowing up, you know, the Air Force there, the Air National Guard, they're extending their runway. There's more people coming into this town. So to have a baseball team come in and you can really get behind it from the beginning, I think that's what's going to be fun. Knowing 10 years down the road, when we're still doing this podcast, we're like, man, I remember when the first year they started, now they're this team playing on the riverfront.
Well, and we always hear from, you know, being from this area, me living in Fort Smith, people looking for things to do with their families or themselves even on any given night, especially during the summer. And as deeply embedded as this area is in baseball and sports and whatnot, I think it's a great opportunity. I know I've made the comment before, you hope the fans show up and show out, and I truly believe that they're going to do that.
I think they will, and I think a lot has been lost. You know, there used to be a huge American Legion presence in Fort Smith with the Fort Smith Coke team and Kimmins. You know, you see what has been in, you know, like I said, Little Rock and Northwest Arkansas, but there's been a big presence in a history when it comes to Fort Smith and baseball. And you have Carl Albert, you have Connor State, you have UFIS, you have Tech, all the University of the Ozarks. You know, you have a lot of schools where these kids that might not get that chance, now they have that opportunity to come play. And like I said, with the revamp of Garrison Avenue in downtown area, this is just going to bring more people to the city.
Oh yeah, I think it'll definitely especially be something to watch for the local talent, the kids that don't know what's in their future or what their opportunities are. This is just another thing that they can take a look at and see in person, and not have to go very far to do it.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back from the commercial break, we're going to jump into baseball losing the series to Kentucky. Of course, more news when it concerns to the Razorback basketball team. And we'll be back right after the break.
Attention DIYers and home improvement enthusiasts. Are you searching for the right tools and the supplies to tackle your next project? Look no further than Menards Hardware Store. With locations in Ozark, Alma, and Clarkville, our vast selection of hardware and building materials is sure to have everything you need, whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or building a new deck. Plus, our knowledgeable staff is always on hand to offer expert advice and guidance. And with our competitive prices and convenient online ordering, Mentor's Hardware Store is your one-stop shop for all your DIY needs. Visit us today and let's build something amazing together. Are you in need of legal representation? Look no further than the law offices Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson. As the oldest law firm in the River Valley, we have been serving our clients for over 100 years with locations in Ozark, Fort Smith, and Spring. Our experienced team of attorneys provide expert guidance and advocacy in a wide range of legal areas, including personal injury, family law, criminal defense, and more. Trust in our history and experience to the results you deserve. Contact the law offices of Robertson Beasley, Shipley, and Robinson today at 479-782-8813. That's 479-782-8813. Are you looking for a place to grab a cold drink and some delicious food? Look no further than Arkansas Brewing Company. Located at 201 South 1st Street in beautiful downtown Ozark, our establishment offers a wide selection of craft beers and tasty eats. But what sets us apart is our welcoming atmosphere and friendly staff. At Arkansas Brewing Company, you'll always feel like part of the family. So visit Destiny and Christopher Brockett and staff today and see for yourself what makes us the go-to spot for locals and visitors alike. Arkansas Brewing Company, come for the drinks and stay for the friends. Searching for premium brewing products that will take your daily routine to the next level? Look no further than Sterling Soap Company. Our handmade soaps, aftershaves, and balms are made with only the finest ingredients that give you the ultimate grooming experience. With a variety of scents to choose from, there's something for everyone. Plus, our products are crafted in small batches to ensure the highest level of quality. So why wait? Visit www.sterlingsoap.com or visit our retail store at 16 West Walnut Street in Paris, Arkansas. Shop our collection and discover the difference for yourself. Upgrade your grooming routine with Sterling Soap Company.
And I want to welcome you back to another episode of Hog Talk Podcast. And Arkansas baseball drops a key series to Kentucky. We said coming into it that it was going to be tough. Kentucky come off two series losses against Tennessee and South Carolina, but you're going to Lexington. You knew that the atmosphere was going to be heightened. You went on a rant last week about the SEC network. I think they heard you. I think Greg Sankey personally listened to our podcast, heard you, and now the Texas A&M series is going to be on TV. So, Adam, appreciate you for your public service announcement and getting the next couple of games on TV.
You know, I do what I can. I've had, you know, Bobby Petrino listen to us a couple times on things that they need to do. Now we got Greg Sankey listening. So, I mean, any tips or advice, just, you know, watch the show, holler at us. We are glad to give that free advice.
And, you know, coming into this too, every team, we've talked about how teams pitch and how teams combat this. And I think this is the first series where we've seen, yes, let Hagan Smith do his thing. They won 10-3 on Friday. And then you follow it up with an 11-3 loss and then a 7-4 loss on Sunday. This is what we were kind of worried about. We've talked about this in previous seasons. And look, I know that the bats have been an issue. I know that the bats have gone cold. And this is what happens when you rely on your pitching to try to carry you. You better have your rotation on point if that's what's going to happen. And we've seen it now against Kentucky, what can happen. And I want to, you know, I'd much rather it happen in the early May than in June, July, in Omaha, but this has got to kind of put that bug in your ear or that thing in the back of your head that this is what has worried Razorback fans for a while, for years. Is this is what's going to happen when we come to regionals, super regionals, or Omaha? You know, you're giving up 11, 7, 5, 7. I mean, you're giving up 5, 7 runs. I mean, easy. You gave up on the Missouri State two games, 7-5. You know, even in the wins, other than the 2-1 win against Florida, you're giving up five runs against Florida and the doubleheader. You know, South Carolina, you give up 6 runs, 3 runs, and then 1. But, you know, you have given up a lot of runs other than that, you know, when it comes to Hagan Smith. So, yes, it's time for the bats to wake up. It's time for it to be consistent, because one thing is, look, it's easy to say the bats need to get going, but then that one game when the bats come alive, everybody comes back to, see, this is what happens. This is why we don't need – well, then you go cold. You're cold more than you're hot. So the whole argument of this is why we need to not be so hard on the bats of the team, because this is what they can do. Well, then do it consistent. Mm-hmm. I think you're getting into this thing where you're putting too much pressure on these pitchers, and the wear and tear and the grind of the SEC. Look, you've got two very important series coming up. You cannot afford to let this series against Kentucky start that downward trend that we've seen when it comes to regionals and supers.
You know, outside of Hagan Smith, there were still some questions, even though we thought that things seemed solidified in Brady Tigert and Mason Molina. I know that when Mason went out last week, you know, it was kind of a give him a breather, let him get back on track when he comes back. And, you know, we didn't really see that yesterday. But going into Sunday's game, I believe Arkansas was batting 195 with runners in scoring position. And you're not going to win games like that. It's not going to keep happening for you. And, you know, we're going into some of these teams that are consistently putting up the 5, 6, 7 plus runs, and we don't have the bat support to combat that. And it's caught up with us. You know, I know Kendall Diggs was in a bit of a slump, and he seemed to find himself again in the series, which is great. But then you're sitting there seeing the others around him kind of drop a little bit. So it makes you wonder, you know, does Kendall Diggs need to be moved down the lineup? Do they need to shuffle some things up in the lineup? What's going on there? You just hope they get it figured out before regionals. Because I know, like a lot of us have said, I mean, you don't need to go out and win the SEC tournament. You don't need to overexhaust yourself. But at the same time, you need to have things right before the regionals get here.
Yes, because listen, we've talked about this when it comes to basketball, and you don't want to be in that 7-10 line when it comes to the March Madness. You don't want to be 7-10. It works the same way in baseball. You do not want to be on that 8-9 line on the verge of, yeah, you're going to host a super regional, or you're at the 9 spot now. Yeah, you get to host a regional, but now you're having to travel for a super. I mean, you want to put yourself in a position to where, best you can, you're hosting a regional and super. And you look at Kendall Diggs, yeah, he had a great, but he's still hitting .247 on the year. Mm-hmm. You know, that's second, third to last on the team, only above Will Edmondson and Ty Wilmsmeyer. And Will's batting .235, and then Ty's batting .186. I mean, yes, we're fine now, but we're talking about the history of where things have been in the postseason, and you got to be a complete team. The layout of the SEC tournament, the layout of how they do things in Omaha, you've got to get there first, but then you go into that grind of that, just how it plays out and the pitching. You can't afford to miss when it comes to, you know, your pitching rotation and your bats. You've got to have on point, because look, teams get to Omaha, it's great, but it takes, you know, a special team to make it through Omaha.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not overlooking, you know, Mississippi State coming up this weekend in Fayetteville by any means. You know, I really wish these next two series were flip-flopped in the sense of home and away. You really wish that we had that home field advantage for the Texas A&M series. Mm-hmm. But, you know, luck of the draw, it is what it is. You just hope, you know, hey, use your last weekend in Fayetteville of the regular season, get back on track, get ready for Texas A&M, because you know that's going to be brutal on both sides. You know, we're looking at potentially overall the best series of baseball that's been played yet in college baseball. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on that series at the end of the year.
You brought up a very good point, having that last series away, because you have this Mississippi State series at home. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on that, because you almost, it's, I guess, depending on where you want to be season or your seeding, your national seed, you know, you go to Texas A&M and then you go to the SEC tournament. You're barring, you know, something crazy. You know you're going to host a regional. But now, do you risk the point of you could be playing one more series after Mississippi State at home, and then you're having to go away to SEC tournament? Yes, you come home for regionals, but then you're going to be away super regionals, and then, of course, then going to Omaha. You want to secure enough that you can ensure that you're going to be playing in Bomb Walker Stadium as much as possible, and not let somebody hot come in. I mean, not let a TCU come in, not let, you know, like a North Carolina State get hot. You got to be the hot team. And maybe this loss against Kentucky will spark them to where they really start peaking at the right time.
And it's one of those things that, you know, no loss is a good loss, in my opinion. And it's one of those things you don't want to see, especially to Kentucky with everything going on. You know, I was hoping for the trifecta this weekend, or, you know, getting Coach Cal, having an Arkansas-owned horse win the Kentucky Derby. I was hoping for the trifecta with the baseball series. Didn't happen. But it's one of those things, you know what? You know what you need to work on. Get it right. It's not the end of the world. And so, you know, the sky is not falling, Razorback fans. You know, so it's just one of those that leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but got to move on to the next.
And that's the thing. It's not sky is falling, but we have to still be realist of, one, it goes back to the expectations of this team. You know, this is supposed to be the standard. This is supposed to be the program in college baseball, and you expect them. The expectations is to get to Omaha every single season. I mean, let's be real on that side of it. You expect this team to be in Omaha with the resources, with everything they have in that facility over there. You expect them, and the recruiting, and being the number one team, number two team. Now they've dropped down to fifth, which that's fine, you know. But I base it on expectations compared to what they have done. And yes, making it to Omaha is great. That's the mm-hmm. standard. That shouldn't. If they make it to Omaha, that's amazing. It doesn't matter to me. It's icing on the cake when they win it all, but we know how hard it is to win it all. Mm-hmm. You make it to Omaha, that's like making the college football playoffs. That's like making it to the Final Four. You've made it to Omaha, and I think you can really hang your hat on saying, hey, we made it to Omaha. And of course, you know, it's almost like a little bit of a moral victory, but yeah, if you go at 0-2 in Omaha, you still made it there, but you really want to see this team persevere and give Dave Van Horn that national championship he's mm-hmm. always deserved.
Well, I mean, you look at it, and it's, you know, seven straight seasons of 40-plus wins, number one recruiting classes. We've made it to Omaha. We've made it to the national title game. You know, you hope that this is the season that all the stars align and everything finally comes together, because Dave Van Horn deserves it, and it's something that the fans have been waiting for forever.
Is Arkansas the Gonzaga of college baseball?
Oh no, let's not go there.
Why? I just thought I'd, you know, let's spice it up, you know. I just know, but you have to. But look, you know, Florida State, mm-hmm. you know, their coach was there what, 40 years,
mm-hmm.
and never got there, but he's been revered as one of the greatest baseball coaches ever, and mm-hmm. I guess, in a sense, that just shows you how hard it is to win mm-hmm. it all. And it is. It's not easy to win. But, I mean, it's just something that you kind of throw in there. You see Gonzaga's done for 20-something years in basketball and never have won that eluded national championship. They've been close, but they never mm-hmm. won it. And I think Arkansas can get there, but they really need to step up on both sides of the plate. I mean, that's just on the field, because you need your bats to step up. You're starting to slip away on how many guys are batting over 300, and you got to have that even where your mm-hmm. offense and defense is clicking.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those we've seen in the past that when you have solely relied on one pitcher, sooner or later it's going to catch up to you, and we really don't need to see that. I think we've started to see glimpses of it when it's come to the rest of the pitching staff. And you just hope that some fire will be lit and things will roll. I know that I believe Fisher was announced today that he's going to be out with the season-ending injury surgery. And you hate to see that, especially, I mean, any point this season, but especially as much work has been put in so far this season. So, you know, hopefully a speedy recovery to him and we see him back next season. It's just something that you hope something happens with the bats to get going. I mean, we need to start cranking out, you know, 10, 11 runs per would be very nice to see.
Well, they start the series May 10th, 6:30 p.m., 6 o'clock on Saturday, and 2 p.m. on Sunday, all games on TV. Big series. This is, you know, you only got two series left. This is the last regular season series in Fayetteville before the SEC tournament and postseason play. So you really want to go out on a high note, and taking care of Mississippi State and Texas A&M, I think would be a good boost going into where you can really be comfortable going into the SEC tournament and not feeling, because look, you lose one of these two series, it's putting that pressure where you're five in the country. But, you know, more importantly, if they really take an account of where you're ranked at, is that your seed? Think about if you're fifth, you're a five seed, you lose another one of these series, is that going to put you on the bubble of being that eight seed? You really have to take that, you know, look at into, all right, where do we want to position ourselves? And I know it's taken the last two series and we've been rolling, but you got to take into account on where's that going to put you if you lose one of these series.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something I'm sure it's in the back of their head, but they're just going to be focused on coming in and winning the next series and then worry about the next series after. And that's all they can do.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap things up on a high note. Again, like you said, Arkansas Horse goes into Churchill Downs and wins the Kentucky Derby. From the things that were going around on social media, I don't know if Coach Pittman was betting on that horse or not. We don't know. Just by the looks at it, I know there's a lot of jokes going around about him not betting on the horse. But we've got some announcements of recruiting news, another transfer coming in. Cal's just stealing the cupboard. Kentucky fans are still punching air. And I know that you're loving it. I'm loving it. And Razor fans love still seeing Kentucky fans talking about Arkansas and the same where we still talk about them. It's just adding fuel to that fire when these two teams meet in basketball.
Oh yeah. You know, today is the one that we've been, I think, anxiously waiting on as most fans. Adu Theoroe announced today, you know, there was word last week that he was going to commit for whatever reason, finally happened today. I know that he's still thinking the possibility of the NBA draft. So it's one of those things that there's still going to be those questions around that until they have to officially decide if they're entering or withdrawing at the end of the month. But, you know, there's still names out there to be looking for. You know, around the rumor mill is we could be seeing DJ Wagner show up soon as one of the next commits, former Kentucky player. Dad is DeJuan Wagner that played for Cal at Memphis. And there's about five or six names that are being thrown out there, and two to three of them are pretty hard hitting as to be the next Razorbacks.
Yeah, and he's put together a squad, just a squad that we're not used to seeing, especially with the bigs. But I mean, that just goes to show you that Cal wants to take his time with his team. I think he knows the pressure on him. I mean, we talk about Bobby Petrino and the pressure on him and Sam Pittman to be successful this season in football. I think there's just that much as much pressure on Cal too, because one, you're Cal. Two, you're bringing all these guys in from Kentucky and Tennessee, and of course the Tyson money. You know, you've seen the expectations Arkansas had with Anthony Black and Smith Jr. And Walsh. I think it's going to be a little bit more than that. I think the expectation is going to be a little bit higher. I don't know. I mean, how much higher? I think it could be even or a little bit higher, but we know what to expect with this team. And he's a little bit more methodical when he chooses who he wants. But, you know, when you're out there just going after anybody, now we're slowing it down, we're simmering it, and we're really carefully trying to, we're starting to say we, he is carefully trying to pick and choose what's going to fit his program and fit this team here in Arkansas.
Well, and I think we saw it, you know, previously when you're running out and grabbing portal players just on a whim, you feel like, you know, hey, I've got the best guys, but it's guys that, like we've seen, take a long time to gel, take longer and longer to gel. Whereas the patiently waiting game, kind of playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, mm-hmm. you're figuring out personalities, game types, you know, things like that. How is this player going to fit with this player? You know, it's something that he doesn't necessarily just rely on six or seven guys in a rotation. So it's one of those things that he wants to make sure everybody's going to gel, and everybody's going to complement each other. And that's one thing that I think at times we have not seen previously are those players that complement the guys next to them.
Well, and you're getting guys that now you're adding another element to, they want to come in the transfer portal and be the guy. They do not want to come in here and sit. Now you throw the money in that. Well, they don't want to come in if they're not getting an X amount of dollar and they want to start. So, and when basketball, you got five starting spots, and depending on how he uses his rotation, maybe 8-9 guys, well, there's just three more players. You're not going to have the luxury of thinking you can just get 14 5-stars in here, pay them all $1 million a year. And you know, you don't have that, and it's not ever going to be that way, and get what you want. I mean, you could sit there and pay all your 14 guys $1 million a year if you want to, but getting the quality guys to come in and everybody, so you're not going to get every person that's in the portal. There's, you know, that's why Kentucky's still getting theirs. We talked about that last week. Kentucky's still Kentucky. As much as we want to love to, you know, poke the bear and shake the cage, they're still Kentucky. But we're Arkansas. And that's what excites me about this team is we can really say that we could get back to that 90s, you know, every single year from the Todd Day days, the triplets, the Todd Day years, Corliss days. I think if you have Cal here, you can get those to where – 5, 6, 7 years, you're consistently making Elite Eights, Sweet 16s, Final Fours, and hopefully get that national championship, because that's one of the most important things we have discussed. All it's going to take is one national championship that's really going to spark this whole fan base if it happens in one of the big three sports.
And, you know, like you said, it's the shaking the cage, it's the poking the bear, you know, it's back and forth, it's nonstop. It's one of those things that at times it's exhausting to sit there and open up social media, and it's just the left and the right, the bashing, they're still talking about us. And I know we do the same about them on here, but, you know, it's just one of those things, just from what I've seen that I haven't, you know, involved myself in. Arkansas is number one in the transfer portal. Kentucky's at five. So, great. I mean, you got seven guys. That's awesome. You're finding guys that, you know, Coach Pope wants, that Kentucky wants. We're getting a different bunch. And, you know, it's funny to see some of the Kentucky fans, you know, kind of I've kind of convinced myself that they're just trying to convince their self by kind of hating on the players that Calipari has brought over from Kentucky. Whether it be they're trying to say they're not going to live up to the hype or whatever. I've seen comments about, oh, they're just following Cal. They're not coming to Arkansas to come to Arkansas. Hey, we're aware of that. Like, I feel like y'all are trying to say something that we don't know. Like, it's a shot to us. We know that there are going to be a lot of players that are coming to play for Coach Calipari. That's just a fact of life. We're not downplaying that. And I think that they think that we're oblivious to it, and we're not.
This team, you know, even the 8-10 year where you go to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eights, look, that's the thing. That's the scary part about this program. Eric Musselman took us to this level and did it by being mid-tier, lower tier in the conference play. You know, you get a team that comes in and you're finishing first, second every single year in the SEC. You're getting these teams that are ranked in the top 10, top five in the country every year. And you put that product in Bud Walton Arena, it's going to be explosive. That's the thing. We've seen what teams have done in Bud Walton Arena. and what this fan base has gotten behind and the teams. I mean, look, we beat Duke. We've beaten Purdue this year with the team that didn't even make the tournament. I mean, you get a squad put together with Coach Cal and this environment, there's not going to be a team in the country that wants to step inside of Bud Walton Arena and play these guys. That's where we want to get back to. There was a time where everybody, and it still was that for a little bit. I think we lost a little bit of it this year, but we're going to get back to that where nobody wants to come into Bud Walton Arena and play the Razorbacks. Do they? And it's going to get to the point where you dread Arkansas coming into your arena and playing you because of the fact that what this team could be and what this program can get to.
Mm-hmm. And if I could say anything, free advice, whatever. Hey, Greg Sankey, listen. So, Coach Calipari, if you're listening, bring back the true Midnight Madness. Yes. And I will say that until it's announced.
I'll bring two paper sacks full of canned goods. We'll put together a food drive. Bring back Midnight Madness. And I'm telling you, it's going to be electric. And if I can, you know, think of one thing that Eric Musselman did that, you know, to bring Duke Deuce back, bring him, make him the DJ, make him, put him in DJ Derek.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just think you have that environment where you allow fans to come in and have that Midnight Madness. You're going to set the tone for the whole year. And I hate the fact that we have to wait so long. We wait so long, and no disrespect to the football program, no disrespect to the race of the baseball season, but there's just been so much excitement and emphasis put on this program and this team that I can't wait for this to finally come to fruition and get on the court.
100%. So, you know, we got a long ways to go. You know, I know things will somewhat die down once we finally get a roster finalized, but at the same time, just, you know, enjoy it while the conversation is there to be had, because – that's one thing that there's been, even on the national media front, you know, it's been Arkansas, and I've enjoyed almost every bit of it because it's just exciting to see not just baseball, but, you know, basketball. And other, I mean, we're being talked about as a state, as an athletic department, and you love to see it. So now let's get back on having, you know, football included in this, you know, winning seasons, all the teams ranked. Let's get back there to national prominence.
Yeah, and that's what they deserve. That's what this program, that's what this the fan base deserves. But it's funny you said that about the going back and forth. It's almost like you love the craziness, but then you get tired of it. But then when it's not there, you're like, man, it's kind of boring today. Mm-hmm. And then you want that. You crave that drama. You crave that excitement, and you just – hope that we can just keep on adding team players to each team so we can keep on going back and forth with each other. But it's been fun. I think it's going to be an interesting summer leading on to what happens with the baseball team, football team, and then, of course, leading up to basketball. But Adam, you got anything else before we wrap up?
No, just if you're in, you know, the River Valley, Northwest Arkansas, Eastern Oklahoma, watch the weather tonight.
Yes.
Be safe. There's a high risk tonight, so just – have everything prepared just in case.
Yeah. Well, that will do it for this episode of the Hog Talk Podcast, brought to you by Bet Online, Believe Network, Sterling Soap Studios, and Arkansas Brewing Company. We will catch you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.